I remember one particular Christmas, I was a teenager, and we were unboxing all of the decorations, ornaments and lights, and particularly all of the nativity scenes that were placed in different rooms around the house. And my mom's favorite nativity scene was always placed in the dining room at the edge of the buffet, the place of honor, because that's where the Martin family gathered on Christmas Day for lunch. But as we were unpacking that box, getting the different characters out from that nativity scene, one of them was missing. Joseph was gone. And by the panic on my mother's face, I knew this was a big deal. We fanned out all over the house, but we couldn't find him. And our concern paled in comparison to Mary's. Maybe the panic she felt on that first Christmas, wondering if Joseph would stay around. And we wondered if that year the fear just got the best of him and he dismissed her quietly. Our dog had this suspicious look on his face, but we could never prove anything. There's actually this old folk tale, which Mark Rawls reminds us of, that reimagines the Christmas story, wondering what it would have been like if Joseph was not there. That on that very first Christmas, as they arrived at Bethlehem, Joseph left going to find a midwife to help Mary with childbirth. And while Joseph was away, something strange happened. One of those moments where time seems to slow down, almost at a standstill. That Joseph is walking by this field, and he sees a shepherd over in the field, eating his lunch, taking a piece of bread, dipping it in a pot, ready to take a bite, and all of a sudden, everything slows down. But Joseph looks up, notices this bird flying overhead that almost seems suspended in midair as time seems to pause, and then this breeze blows against Joseph's face. And for that split second, everything seemed to change. Joseph didn't realize it at the time, but Jesus had been born. As Rawls says, Christmas still happened. That while Jesus was away in the manger, Joseph was busy away from the manger. But Christmas still happened. The light of the world arrived, which is quite comforting. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it wherever we are. That the love of God can still find us. That we have this rare opportunity today to gather and worship beside the manger. It will not happen again where Sunday falls on Christmas Day for 11 more years, not until 2033. And as we stand here beside the manger on this day, it reminds us that wherever we find ourselves, the light of the world still comes. The love of God can find us wherever we are. Because the birth of Jesus rather down to earth, that even the Gospel of John, that writes about Jesus in such a heavenly way, talks about the light of the world coming to us in this earthy manner. Because that first chapter of the Gospel of John echoes the sounds of the story of creation, where the first sentence in John's Gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word." It echoes that first sentence of the book of Genesis, that in the beginning God said, "Let there be light." Where the story of creation is about soil and breath and life. That's how the light of the world comes to us. It is a story about the day-to-day, feet on the ground, real needs of people's lives, wherever we are. That the story of Christmas is not only about the birth of Jesus, but also about the rebirth of this world, of all creation. Which reminds us of that beautiful, powerful poem by Howard Thurman, "Now the Work of Christmas Begins," which says, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart." That whether we are standing beside the manger or whether we find ourselves somewhere else, Christmas still happens. And then we are called to take it with us out into the world, allowing light to shine in all darkness. That as the psalmist says, we have a new song to sing, a song of hope, peace, joy, and love, wherever we are. Amen.